Good morning. It's been a bit of a strange week weather-wise, hasn't it? But it's glorious today, so it's nice to be here. So I was thinking about the God that we serve. And I know I've said this before in church, but if we thought about all the things that we say thank you for, do we say thank you for everything we've got in our life? So if we came downstairs one morning and the only things that were in our house were the things that we said thank you to God for, what would be there? So we need to say thank you to God for everything, everything that we have, our finances, the things that we cherish, the people that we cherish. Thank you for everything. So thank you. We welcome you this morning. We welcome people on the other side of the screen. I always say the other side of the screen. That sounds... Our church family, you're part of our church family. So you are welcome this morning. So we say, Father, thank you for bringing us safely together this morning. We pray by your Holy Spirit that you would be very real to us. You would breathe your Holy Spirit afresh into our hearts this morning. And we would learn something afresh of you. Give us your peace this morning as what we've prepared, both Rob, myself, everybody who's here that's prepared something, Junior Church. We pray your blessings on each and every person in this building. We know that you bless us mightily, but give us your peace this morning that everything that's prepared has come from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us today. Amen. Amen. So we're going to worship an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Right, we're going to finish this part of our worship by singing how amazing God is. How great thou art. God, we thank you. We are such an amazing God. Thank you. We serve such an amazing God. Thank you, God. Morning, Carol. You're looking lovely.
Morning, everybody. Good to see you all again this morning. Very warm welcome to everyone, and of course those of you who are watching on YouTube. It's good to be together, and the sun's shining this morning, so that's brilliant, isn't it? I was actually talking to somebody earlier, and we were talking about the weather as we always do, and we were saying it's a bit cold and it's a bit rainy, but when you look at the continent and the other countries far flung away from here, and they are really struggling with the heat, and I think, wow, the balance is really has gone a bit weird. So I'm just being a bit weird here and saying that I prefer the rain to the red hot. So but we do want a little bit of warm, especially in 2 weeks when I go on my holiday. Right, so notices for this week. After this morning's service, we will be having the church members meeting around about 12 o'clock-ish when we finish. Grab a coffee, a cup of tea or whatever, and then we'll get started on that. And this afternoon, there's the prospects meeting at 3 o'clock down here at church as well. No ladies meeting now until September. The ARC playgroup are finishing on this coming Tuesday, but they will be here this Tuesday at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and then they will be reopening again when the schools start. The prayer walk will be taking place at 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Forgot to ask where we're meeting, love. Co-op car park again. If we've been doing it for the last couple of weeks, so if you're able to join us, if you meet us there at 10 o'clock, and that will be the last. You're carrying on in August, right? We're having a break in August, but then we will be carrying on again. And also the men's breakfast will be having a break during August, but the lunch club we will be carrying on regardless right through the summer. And of course next Thursday is the next one between 12 and 2, so please do come. We're getting a lovely number of we don't start eating until 12, do we? So generally, but I mean, come when you like. You can always help make sandwiches, can't you, if you turn up early? The more the merrier. We're very laid back and relaxed, and we have a lovely time. So please do invite your family and friends if you're able to. I've got an advance notice here for September. We don't really want to think that far ahead yet, but the beginning of September, the 2nd and the 3rd, we're having our harvest weekend. It's a bit earlier than we normally have, but we're going to have a coffee morning, and we're going to have the church open, hopefully, just for your diaries at the minute. We'll let you know more details later, but that will be on the Saturday morning. And then on Sunday, the 3rd, it will be the harvest festival service. So we'll tell you a bit more about that later. It's Pat's funeral on Friday. I think probably all of us know that now, the 21st. We had a message from the family this morning with the details. It's at 12 o'clock at Barnbymore Crematorium, and afterwards at Aston Hall, and everyone is warmly invited. Family flowers only, please, but if anyone would like to donate, they are sending all donations to Rotherham Hospice. Please feel free to add a splash of colour, she's put, bless her. Purple was Pat's favourite colour, so it's up to you if you'd like to do that. And the Hans family, thank you all for your continually love and prayerful support. So please do bear them up this week as they prepare for to say the final goodbye to Pat on Friday. And now I'd like to invite Livy to bring us some scripture. Thank you.
So, today's reading is Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose. The valley sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are for the refuge of the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night when all the beasts of the forests creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much, Olivia, and good morning from me to everybody as well. Good morning at home, good morning here. Let's pray, shall we? Keep your finger in Psalm 104, because we will, perhaps unsurprisingly, be returning to it over the next 20 minutes or so. Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you this morning that you have revealed yourself. And we thank you that we come to meet you this morning. We come to meet you in your word. Father God, please open our eyes to help us see more of who you are, to see you as you really are, to move our hearts, to move our hearts. Let us fall on our knees. Let us give you the glory and the worship that is due to you alone. And we ask this in your name's sake. Amen. So to start with, I've got a little bit of a question. How great is the Lord God in your eyes? How great is the Lord God in your eyes? We've just sung, haven't we? How great thou art. Let's just have a pause maybe for a moment. Consider the life that you live, the place that God has in your life. It's interesting that Jan spoke a few minutes ago, didn't she? And she said, what would happen if we only had, if we came downstairs one day and we only had the things in our life that we have thanked God for? How empty would it be? It's quite a challenge. And my question is sort of going along the same lines, isn't it? How do you involve him in the decisions, your decisions about life on a day-to-day basis? Or do you only involve him when you feel out of your depth in that slimy pit that we were thinking about last week? To put it another way, do you depend on him to put food on the table and water in your tap and air in your lungs? How great is the Lord in your eyes? And I wonder, if we are really honest, most of us, probably if not all of us, will realise that we don't always see him the way that he really is, and therefore we don't always treat him appropriately. I mean, maybe that's just me. If it is, then wave at me and I'll go now, because I'm obviously a terrible human being and I shouldn't be here speaking to you this morning. But I think that's probably all of us at some point. But what is clear from Psalm 104 is that the psalmist has done just that. He is treating God appropriately, isn't he? And that's why he begins the psalm as he does. He says in verse 1, bless the Lord. Have a look down. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he ends it right at the end in verse 35. He ends it in the same way. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. It's a little bit like a sandwich, this psalm, isn't it? You've got bless and praise the Lord as the slices of bread. And then in the middle of the bready praise, I wish I hadn't started that metaphor now. In the middle of that bready praise, you've got all the reasons why praising the Lord is the right thing to do and why you and I should join with him in doing just that. And I say should, because this isn't really a matter of opinion. It's not a subjective thing. It's not whether you think that God is great or not. It's just counting, yeah? Usain Bolt holds the record, well, unless something happened last night, he still holds the record for the fastest 100 metres. And the world has got absolutely no problem in recognising his greatness over that distance, does it? But when it comes to recognising God's greatness and giving God the praise that is due to him, then the world does have a problem with that. And that's what this psalm addresses. It takes us through a grand tour of creation to show us the Lord's qualifications in being praised. And this matters because when we lose sight of who the Lord is, then sin and rebellion against him can follow in our hearts. That's why this psalm was such a key psalm to the Israelites when they were in exile. And I think it's a key psalm for all of us here too as well. Because if we're honest, each of us, to some degree, rebels against him. And so we will find that in this psalm, we've got God's prescription to us to restore our correct vision of him, to allow us to open our eyes and see him as he really is, and therefore draw closer to him. So let's plunge into the main body of this psalm. Are we ready to meet God? Good. Oh, that's very keen. Excellent. Well, let's meet God then. Okay, so the first thing that we see is that the Lord is very great over all creation. And we see that in the first four verses, the opening four verses, where the psalmist paints a picture of just how great the Lord is over everyone and everything. It's a picture of unrivaled greatness, which no one can get close to. Our earthly world leaders throughout time have tried to show their greatness by what they wear, how they dress. Think about King Charles III's coronation a few months ago. There were the fancy robes, weren't there, and the capes, the ermine, all that stuff. And whether you get into the whole monarchy thing or not, it looked pretty impressive, didn't it? It was a symbol of how great and how important the king was, or is. But those items of clothing that King Charles wore are insignificant in comparison to the Lord. The psalmist says, "You, God, you are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as a garment." So God puts on splendor and majesty just like you and I might put on a coat. He wraps himself in light like we might wear a t-shirt. So God picks up light as you and I would just pick up clothing. And he does what he likes with it. And then in the second half of verse 2, we're told that he stretches out heavens like a tent. He stretches them out like you and I might stretch out a gazebo for a barbecue on a slightly dubious day like today. But of course, we could never find a gazebo the size of heavens. And even if we could, we haven't got Mr. Tickle Arms and we wouldn't be able to stretch it out. And throughout the next few lines, we see just how awesome and how very great our God is. The beams of his chamber are laid upon the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messenger. He makes flames of fire his servants. He is master over the weather. We, on the other hand, are completely at the mercy of the weather, aren't we? We're either sweltering when it's really ridiculously hot, or we're mopping up when it chucks it down. And just in case we try to explain this psalm away, they were very ancient people, they were very unscientific, it's kind of poetic, this language. Let's just remember that the Lord God came into our world as a person, as Jesus Christ. And in Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41, we're told that with a word he calmed a huge storm. The waves went flat calm and the wind stopped, just like that. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So this is a literal poetic form here that we see in 104, in Psalm 104. So God is very good over all creation. And the question that we must have is, have we accepted that he is very great over you and I as well? It's all very well to think that he's very good over all creation, but I'm sort of separate. He's very good over all creation, and that includes us. Because if we have accepted that, that will mean that we stop wearing the crown that is rightly his. And for some people, maybe for some people in this room, maybe for some people at home, it might be the first time that we've recognized that. Perhaps we need to invite him into our lives as Lord, as the Lord God. But I know that for most of us here, he is our Lord already, isn't he? Maybe we need to still check our lives to see where we have reserved little areas of our life for ourselves and hanging on to them. Maybe we need to give those areas over to him as well. Well, I think that would be an awesome psalm, even if it just ended there. But the psalmist goes on to show us so much more. And next, from verses 5 through to verses 30, he reveals the Lord's very great work in creation. Verses 5 through to verses 30. Now, in this long central section of the psalm, we find the psalmist reveals that the Lord is at work in creation in four key ways. Firstly, he sets creation in place. Secondly, he sustains all life. The third point is that he gives creation purpose. And lastly, he gives life and life after death. So let's have a little bit of a look then at the Lord's very great work in creation, and let's see the fact that he set creation in place. We're having a look at 5 through to 9. Looking down through these verses, we can see that the creation of the world wasn't by chance. It was by God's will and God's purpose. His hand at work, his voice of command. In verse 5, we're told that he set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. In verse 6, he covered it with the deep as with a garment. Verse 7, at your rebuke they, that's the mountains, fled. At the sound of your thunder they took flight. In verse 8, where did they flee to? They went to the place that you, that's God, appointed for them. Verse 9, you, God, set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. Here we see the Lord's greatness and power in creation, everything set in place by him. And I think we should feel tiny and insignificant in comparison. I mean, we can't even predict the weather, can we? But the Lord God can control it, and he sets boundaries for all of creation. These verses remind us not only how very great God is, but also remind us how foolish our rebellion against a mighty creator God is. It should serve to draw us back to him in mercy and for his grace. This then is just the first piece of the Lord's very great work in creation, as he sets all creation in place. Because thankfully, he's not like some dodgy absentee landlord who just doesn't bother with the tenants or the property. No, he is the Lord who sustains all life. He sustains all creation. And we see this in verses 10 through to 18. You might have noticed when Olivia was reading this for us earlier on that in this psalm, the Lord is the one that does everything. All creation, and that, as I've said, includes you and I, all creation is dependent on him. Just look down at these verses with me. Verse 10, he makes the springs pour forth water to sustain life. Verse 11, for the wild animals. Verse 12, for the birds. Verse 13, he sends rain so that the earth is satisfied. Verse 14, he sustains cattle with grass and he gives us plants so that we can be sustained too. He wants us to enjoy life. Verse 15, so much so that he doesn't just give us bread and water. He gives us wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. Verses 16 and 17, he watered the trees so that they can be homes to the birds. And verse 18, he gives the high mountains to the wild goats and the crags to the rock badgers. And just in case you're wondering what a rock badger is, I looked it up and it's kind of like a big Palestinian guinea pig. It's true. The point from all these verses is that all creation is sustained by the Lord. We are dependent on him. Yes, humans can make bread and wine and oil, but he gives us the raw materials to do that. We depend on him for everything, from morning toast to Sunday roast, from gas to electricity, from cars to computers, even the air that we are all hopefully still breathing right now. All of those are down to him. He is the creator who sustains us. And if we ever doubt this, again, let's just think about the New Testament. Don't forget that Jesus fed 5,000 people with a packed lunch. It's a reminder, isn't it, that we depend on the Lord Jesus for our physical and our spiritual sustenance. How great thou art is really easy to sing, isn't it? But do we really depend on him? Do we recognize that we really depend on him for everything in life, physically and spiritually? So we've seen that God sets all creation in place, and we've seen that he sustains all creation. And the psalmist goes on, and next we see in verses 19 through to 23 that the Lord gives creation a purpose. A little bit like an orchestra conductor, God gives creation the part to play and then conducts them to give them the purpose. Verses 19 through to 22, he uses the sun and moon to give the seasons and days, so that even the lions know when to go and get their food from him. We often think that lions are quite self-dependent creatures, don't we? But no, they are dependent on the Lord, it says there. And verse 23 reminds us too that he gives those things so that you and I can go about our purpose day by day. And yet again, we know that we are pretty insignificant. We know that we can neither change the days nor the seasons. Do you see our insignificance again? And therefore, because of our insignificance, do we see the awesome greatness of our God? And if we do, will we seek to fulfill our purpose that he has given us? Just as he has given the sun and the moon their purpose, he gives us our purpose. The purpose that he intended way back in Genesis 1, which is to glorify him. In John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus says that the work of each of us is to believe in the one whom the Father has sent. We were created by him and for him. And this psalm that we're looking at today is encouraging us to see and accept the Lord Jesus for who he is. Seeing his greatness in giving us purpose for his glory. Living for him. Making him all that we are about. His purposes. Day by day. And then the psalmist gives us one more glimpse of the Lord's very great work as we draw this central section to a close in verses 24 through to verse 30. He gives life, and that includes life after death. Look around the world, the psalm says. Look across the continents, verse 24. Look across the oceans, he says, verse 25. And you will see that the creation is teeming with life. So much so, actually, that we are still discovering stuff. We are finding new species all around the world. Just this year, 2023, we have found hairy hedgehogs in the Philippines, bent-toed geckos in Timor, and a snake that eats snails, and for some reason that I really don't understand, is rather peculiarly named after Leonardo DiCaprio's mum. If anyone can work that out, then please tell me. I think she might be some sort of nature conservation person, but anyway, it's a bit weird. It just goes to show us how great God's creation is, isn't it? 2023, we're still discovering new species. And they're not little, like, tiny things, are they? They're big old things, hairy hedgehogs. Don't laugh at the hairy hedgehog. It's God's creation, Jan. He brings life. God brings life. We are still finding out about the life that he has given us. And it's all down to him. Look at verse 24. In wisdom, you've made them all. The earth is full of your creatures, every creature made by him. Verse 27. All these look to you to give them their food in due season. Oh, it seems a wonderful existence, doesn't it? Verse 28, when you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. This is the good life, isn't it? It's wonderful. It echoes back to the original creation back in Genesis. But just as it all seems wonderful in verse 28, verse 29 reveals that all is not well. In verse 29, it's revealed that the Lord has to hide his face from what is going on in the world. He has to hide his face from our sin and our rebellion against him. And that then reminds us of just how terrifying that is. Because when that happens, he takes away their breath. They die. They return to dust. Death is the result of sin. Death was never in the script. It wasn't the original plan for creation, but with sin came death. Sin cut us off from God, our creator and our sustainer. And yet, in verse 30, we find hope of a life after death. When you send forth your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the ground. So just as the Holy Spirit breathed life into mankind at the beginning, so as we turn to the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, so we find life after death. Life after spiritual death and life after physical death. In John's Gospel again, we read Jesus saying this, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." In Jesus, we can have life after death. The life after death that this psalmist is talking about in verses 28, 29, and 30. Now, I don't think the psalmist necessarily knew how it would happen, but we do, because we've got 20/20 vision this side of the cross. Life back in relationship with God now and for eternity in an eternal relationship with him in a new creation. And to hammer the point home, we are powerless to achieve any of that on our own. We've seen that all the way through. It's God that does everything. God that does everything. And we are insignificant and we are powerless. And once again, it brings us to see how very great God is and to see his great work in creation. The one who sets the boundaries, the one who sustains life, the one who gives us purpose, and the one who gives life and life after death. And he wants to do that for you, and he wants to do that for me. But the question that every single person in mankind faces is, will you let him? Will you allow him to be your Lord? Will you allow him to be your God? Okay, well, I promise we are on the final straight now, so bear with me. Keep going, keep going. Once the psalmist has looked back over creation and the Lord's work in creation, he declares, third point, I know I had four sub-points, but this is the third point. He declares that the Lord will have glory. This is the last little bit, verses 31 through to the end in verse 35. He says that all creation will acknowledge the holiness and the awesomeness of God. Verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. The Almighty is so powerful. And yet he is pleased when we live in a right relationship with him, when creation is all that it should be and it glorifies him. And the psalmist says that he is going to play his part so that God receives all the honour and the praise and the glory that is due to him. So verses 33 and 34, he says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. He knows that he, like every single one of us here this morning, is prone to sin. And he prays, therefore, that even his most private thoughts, even his meditations, would please the Lord. So here then is a picture of someone who is totally caught up in the Lord. He wants nothing to deny the Lord the glory that he deserves. Which is why he says in verse 35, let sinners be consumed from the earth, let the wicked be no more. He doesn't say that because he's being vindictive and nasty. He says that because he knows that as sinners don't praise God, and as sinners refuse to recognize who God is, God doesn't get the glory that he deserves. And he doesn't want God to be robbed of glory and honor and praise. So this psalm, this song, recognizes the greatness of God. But it's also a prayer that longs for sinners, like you and I, to see the Lord for who he really is. To come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ's reconciling death on the cross. In John 12:32, Jesus says this, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. That's what Jesus is looking forward to as he is crucified. The psalmist wouldn't have known or necessarily understood that that was going to happen, but we do. And so we must respond through faith in God's Son, who died on a cross for you and for me. And so yet again, I say it every week, this psalm is for each one of us. The very great Lord of creation wants us to join with the rest of creation in bringing him glory. And that means you and me, that means our families, our friends, the people that we work with, the people that we travel with on a bus, the people that we meet in a shop. That's why it's so important to reach out and speak about our faith, so that people can meet the Lord Jesus for themselves and give him the praise and the honour and the worship that he deserves. And so as I wrap up, this morning's psalm is all about seeing God for who he really is. But this is pretty personal, isn't it? If you haven't done already, today is the day that you can make him your Lord. Today is the day to begin singing, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And if you do want to do that, then talk to somebody that you feel comfortable with before you go home, or get in touch, or put something in the chat. Don't leave it. But if you have already taken that step, and I know lots of people have, today is the day to take another look at who he really is. Just to put on a new set of glasses with a different prescription in to clarify our vision, so that we can join in with the psalmist and the rest of creation in praising him for everything that he is. Well, let's pray together before I hand over to Jan. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us in your word this morning, for opening our eyes to who you are, and for renewing our vision of who you are. Father, in your mercy, please forgive us for the ways that we have not seen you as you are, and therefore stolen your glory and your honour from you. Please, by your Spirit, be at work in each of our hearts, that we may grow deeper in our relationship with you, and may bring you the praise and the glory that you deserve, day by day, moment by moment even. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour. Amen. Thank you very much, Jan.
So as we come to communion, we think about the eternal God. The eternal God who's our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. God created us to love the Lord with all our hearts, all our minds, all our souls, and all our strength. Christ has defeated every sin, so cast all your burdens onto him before we join together in communion. We've sung this morning about God taking our burdens, that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he lived and died to take away my sin. In John 6, it says, "The bread of God is the one who came down from heaven and gave life to the world." Communion is a celebration of what Christ did for us. So let us be joyful as we remember. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he'd broken it, he blessed it. He gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." He said to them, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. We invite this morning all who love the Lord Jesus to take part in communion with us. Please let the elements pass you by if you don't want to join in. Take the bread, but keep the cup, and we'll drink together. Let's drink the cup together and remember. So, Father, this morning we pray for people who are bereaved, people who can't find comfort, people who need your loving arms around them. We pray for people who might be ill, people who are in pain daily, constantly. I really don't know what that might feel like, but you know, Father, and you know the people who need you. We pray for incremental prayers. So we pray for those people to have a good day today. Father, bring your love to them today. But let them have a good day, pain-free. But you know what tomorrow will bring. We pray for all the children who are facing exams and results and wondering what the next step is. We pray for guidance, guide their footsteps in the next journey, on the next step of their journey. And for anybody who's looking forward to a chance to rest over the summer, we thank you for the chance to relax, to gather our thoughts, but for you to be central in all our thoughts as we seek to know your will for this place and for our lives individually. Lord, help our world. You must cry out daily when you see what's happening. We pray for children all over the world to know your love. We pray for everyone, but particularly I'm thinking today of all the children who might be suffering, the children without parents, the children who have no bed to sleep in, who have got hungry tummies. We pray for them particularly today, Lord, because we are all your children. And I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness to endure the cross. Bless us when we go from here or when during our meeting. Help us to seek your face daily and to hear your voice in all that we do. Protect us with your angels and let us take your love and share it with all people that we meet this week. And we pray this in your mighty and gracious name. Amen. Well, I pray that you all have a good week. Thank you. It's lovely to see you all this morning. And we pray that you have a good week and pray that God protects us with the angels until we meet again next week. Thank you. Amen.